Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, July 18th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. There's about 30 reviews on iTunes and 5 on Stitcher. I know there's more than 35 of you that listen to this thing. It's a small but mighty number. And I look at my Podbean site, and it seems like the numbers are going down. I don't know what the fuck you guys' problem is. No, I don't know what's going on. But when I look on iTunes, I see that some of the episodes are like high rated and stuff. You can see like, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know if people are dropping off. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to trim the fat, and you know, it happens. So if you do listen to this show and you do like it, and if you have not rated the show, please do that. It would mean a lot to me. It makes me feel good. Like I always say. So do that if you haven't done it already. And then I know people listen to it on Stitcher, and people that aren't old media guys like me, where I still carry around my iPod. It's not like it's the Zach Morris phone. It's not like it's the like a big ass phone that Zach Morris had. It's just a small iPod. It's smaller than my phone. People use their phones now, and then they charge you. They take all this data. I downloaded SoundCloud on my phone, and I was listening to some music on SoundCloud like you do. And then I get an email, oh, we're going to charge you $15. I don't know about how I feel about, you know, I like the fact that my monthly bill went down, I guess, because I was paying like $120 a month for all of my coverage. And then when AT&T gave me this phone, it's like I'm paying for this phone. I'm paying like however much this phone is supposed to be, like $800, however the fuck this Samsung thing is, that will probably within another 2 to 3 months, it's already obsolete because they've got a Samsung Galaxy S7 Active, which is like if it falls in the toilet, it still works, or if it gets some kind of excrement on it, it'll still work. And like the one that I'm paying for now doesn't do that. Why don't you just make the phones do have all that shit and just charge the people what you're going to charge? So I guess I got another year or two to pay off this phone. And once I pay this phone off, I'm going to keep it for as long as I can. I mean, this phone pretty much does everything that I want it to do. But it's just I had such an old plan. I think I was grandfathered in, or it was some things that I wasn't, that they weren't, you know, billing me for. So I just keep getting overbilled every month. Now that I like, you know, sending fucking, but a part of it's like me, like regressing into not even a teenage boy, a teenage girl who responds to people on Facebook with photos that I download, or I tweet stuff. Like this morning, what did I do? This morning I found, why don't we just get into it? Before this morning, I woke up at like 3 a.m. out of my slumber. And I just got on Twitter. I was seeing where like Kim Kardashian released a video of Kanye talking to Taylor Swift on the phone about the famous song, which he says something about, he calls Taylor a bitch. He said, I make that bitch famous. Like, he might still have sex with Taylor Swift because he made her famous. And then Taylor acted like she didn't know about it, because when she won her Grammy for best pop album or album of the year or whatever, she, you know, threw a jab at Kanye, making herself the victim. And everybody says that she's always making herself the martyr. And then, so that was the big hullabaloo. And then I think I woke up again and went back to sleep, and I woke up and I found out that Selena Gomez got into it, young. And I was like, oh no. And Twitter was dragging. And those of you that have listened to this podcast know that I'm a fan of Selena Gomez. I love her. She's a lovely young lady. She's my celebrity crush. That's what the deal is. She's my celebrity crush, and I care for her a great deal. And she had got up into the mix and was, you know, tweeting about, oh, I don't see. Let me actually. Can I actually find it? I keep it up. Did I actually? So she got on, was caping for Taylor. Okay. So wait. So hold on, y'all. So Taylor acted like she ain't know about the song, and so Kim Kardashian exposed her, and everybody started dragging Taylor, and then she acted like she didn't know about it again, and so she started getting dragged, and then Selena Gomez gets on Twitter at about 12:31 a.m. and she says there are more important things to talk about. Why can't people use their voice for something that fucking matters? And that got, at the time, it got 86,000 retweets and 163,000 favorites, give or take a few hundred. So then this dude on Twitter named John, he goes by Praise Jeebus, and he writes, good question. Why haven't you or Taylor not said a thing about Black Lives Matter or police brutality? And then that's where Selena could have just not said anything. But then she responded to this dude and she says, oh, LOL. So that means if I hashtag something, I save lives. No, I could give two fucks about sides. You don't know what I do. And I was like, oh, shit. No. And then, you know, people are going to misinterpret that. I don't think Selena is I don't think she's against Black Lives Matter, because I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even say what I think. Like, I don't know what's in her head and what's in her heart, but I know that she does like charitable stuff, and she does stuff for like UNICEF, and she's out in these streets, out in these foreign countries, touching the people and doing stuff. And I remember one time she had a picture of her with a UNICEF t-shirt on, and it was a wet t-shirt, and I was very thankful that she had did that. I was thankful that she did that. And and then she's like actually about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's actually in the streets. Like she's not like some of those celebrities you see where like they're in these UNICEF the St. Jude's Hospital, like where the celebrities are like, I'm so and so from St. Jude's, and they have two of the kids with cancer on the, like, hanging out with her, with the whatever the celebrity is, and then the celebrity's kind of freaked out by the kid, like they think they're gonna get the kid's cancer from sitting too close to him. She's actually hugging these kids, she's with them, and she be doing shit, man. So I don't know, but the internet will look for any opening and drag the fuck out of you. And all she had to do was just not say anything. And and then who else was caping? Chloe Grace Moretz says something too. Now I'm getting all Gossip Girl and and fucking Jared TMZ. Where is this shit at, man? Cause she had said something. Where the fuck is she said something like, oh, something along the lines of the same thing. And then somebody was like, somebody on Twitter was like, what? After the, yo, like, she said something. And then some user just said, when the Orlando shooter happened, you were tweeting about Roscoe's chicken and waffles. So it's like, because their homegirl was getting it. They had the cape in. And like, sometimes, man, you just got to let people take that L. And so then Chloe Grace Moretz has said something. Where the fuck is the... Oh, shit. Chloe Grace Moretz said... Okay, let me find this shit. Because Chloe Kardashian said some shit. Hold on. Let me find... See, I'm getting on. I don't even need to be doing all this shit. But fuck it. I don't care. Did she delete her tweet? Feel like she deleted her shit. Yeah, she deleted hers. She said something about a hole, and then Khloe Kardashian was like, yo, do you mean this hole? And it was a picture of some dude carrying her, and her, you could see like her panties and her vagine. And so Khloe got in on it. She was taking care, you know, looking after her sister. And it's just some dude in the pool, in the ocean or something. So it was an interesting morning. Celebrities was going at it on Sunday night, and I had to tweet through my distress, and evidence of that is on my Twitter timeline. So I just posted like a couple pictures of like when you find out your celebrity crush isn't woke, and I got a picture of this kid that stared down the camera during. The College World Series, the kid was in the funny videos and a picture of LeBron crying after winning the chip for Cleveland. And it's sad. Like, it's just like, ah, it's like, you know, like, I'm not expecting like everybody that I like or all these celebrities to be activists or whatever. But it's just like, either you gonna stand for something or just shut the fuck up or do what you do quietly. Like, I think it was going on for a while where like Jay-Z and Beyonce had donated like $1 million to Black Lives Matter, or they were doing, you know, some kind of charitable things, and they just didn't really say nothing about it. But I'm caping for Selena right now, young. Selena Gomez Philanthropy. She does work for UNICEF. She works with, so she's on St. Jude. She be out there in the streets, young. She be out there, man. Fuck y'all. Okay. Charities and foundations supported 10 by 10. I don't know what that is. A Day Made Better, Alliance for Children. I'm going to just read them. Alliance for Children's Rights, ALS Association, ALS Association, Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, Elton John's AIDS Foundation, Enough Project, Free the Children, Malala Fund, Rosie Theater Kids, Ryan Seacrest Foundation, Stand Up to Cancer, St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, Teen Cancer America, and UNICEF. So she's out here, and if you click, it's called looktothestars.org /celebrity/Selena Gomez. And if you look in there, if you actually click on these, let's see what 10 by 10 does. Celebrity supporter was founded an award-winning documentary group, Educate Girls Change the World. 10 by 10 was founded by award-winning journalists at the documentary group and Paul G. Allen's Vulcan Productions, along with strategic, built on a foundation of partnerships with NGOs, corporations, and policymakers. What the fuck does it do? Organizations all working to change minds, lives, and policy. High impact number of champions leading girls education. Okay. So she be doing shit, man. And if you would click on any of these things, it would show what the organization is about. So leave Selena Gomez alone. It's her birthday week. She's gonna be, how old is she gonna be? 24? 24. I think I was talking about her on stage this past weekend. She's 23, so she's gonna be 24 next. What, on Friday? She gonna be on Friday. She, you know, leave her alone, young. But I think she's strong. I don't think she really care what some of these people say. She did delete that tweet, And that dude was funny as hell, though. Like, he was like, but you and Taylor ain't say nothing about Black Lives Matter. It's like every celebrity. It's just like Dave Chappelle's bit where he was talking about, well, what does Ja have to say? Like, who gives a fuck? But I think that's just a thing so everybody could just, so you could just be held accountable for, or just dragged online if you don't say the right thing. I mean, I don't envy that part of celebrity at all. That's why a lot of people just kind of shut the fuck up. Some of these celebrities, you know, and if they're doing whatever they're doing, they do it on the low, or they do it behind the scenes or whatever. All right. What else can you do with the show? You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. You can like it on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter @mundanefestival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter @ChrisLamberth. This is episode 176. And as you can tell, I'm going solo for Dolo right here. I thought I was going to have a guest. I had him in the crosshairs. We had to reschedule, so we'll figure that out. And I'm going to try to get some more guests for you. I just been really, really busy with auditions and stuff, and trying to follow my dreams as a struggling artist in the New York metropolitan area. You know, I'm just trying really hard at trying to be respectable artist, so that maybe one day I could come to your town. For the hundreds of you that listen to this thing, you could actually see me in a club or something, or, you know, and come see me do stand up. That's the goal. That's one of the goals right now. So speaking on, you know, following my dreams and living them, I did some shows, you know, so last weekend, not this past, but the last episode I was talking about, oh my God, I feel like I'm really evolving as an artist. I'm turning, like, I had such a great set at Gotham on Saturday, like a couple weeks ago. And it was, yeah, last week, I guess. How do you say that? It was whatever the week of 2 weeks ago, I had a great set. I hadn't had a set like that in a while. I was feeling really good about myself. I was like, oh, let me go. And I went to the homie Gordon Baker Bones open mic at 10th Street Live in Kenilworth. And it's a good open mic. And it's, you get a crowd and you get some comics and stuff. And I just bombed. Like, nobody gave a fuck. But I think it was my fault, though. I got on stage and I was like, oh, give it up for your host, Gordon Baker Bone. I was like, that's it? You motherfuckers, come on, give it up. Like, I said something like that, and I think they just tuned out, and then they were loud, and so I did like 5 minutes and bombed, and then I went home and questioned. And then as soon as you think like you're on a high, you're just like, yeah, this is, you know, it could just easily be taken from you. And then the next night, Tuesday night, I did a show in Astoria, Sarah Tolomash's show at Rar Bar, Restaurant. It's a French place, and it's a really beautiful, nice wine bar, and I bombed there. But sometimes it's good to just get those words out. But there was a cute girl there, and I made her laugh, and that was kind of like a victory. So I bombed there. And I want to go back, because that's a place like because sometimes you just need to get the words out, to just get it out and see how they sound, you know. And then I got added to host at Levity Live for Steve Trevino, and Jesus Trejo was a feature. Steve Trevino was the headliner. Fucking fun weekend. Shout out to Steve and Jesus. Steve watched all the shows. Like, he watched the sets, and he like gave me notes on, he's like, oh, you should do this to this joke. Like, he's like talking about my set. That's one of the first times in a long time, or one of the first time that a headliner was just like, oh, what do you, you know, I like that bit. You should think about this, think about that. And da 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 da. Like, you know, like he was actually interested in my act. so that was really cool. So, man, it was just a good weekend. So that made me feel good about comedy. There was the second. So the second show Friday was probably one of the best shows. Second show Friday, and maybe second show Saturday were the two best shows. The first show Saturday, I was doing this chunk about Steph Curry. And it just got nothing. There were some laughs, but it got, I was like, fuck. And I killed with that shit at Gotham like a couple weeks ago. You know, my magical set that I hadn't had in a long time. And it was just like that set on a couple weeks ago was just, I was lucid. I was like talking to the crowd a little bit. I was just having like a dialogue, and that was like at 12 a.m. in the morning. And that was just like one of those where you feel like you're doing the work, like the work is happening. I remember this every time I start to feel like that, that just the comedy gods or the art, like the art of whatever you do is just so much bigger than you, and you can never conquer it. You can only work in it. You can only try to evolve and get as good as you can. And it just kind of knocks you down sometimes when you get a little full of yourself. I remember this time. I don't think I told this story before on the show. I remember I was, how old was I? I think I was like 20. This was like 10 years ago. I'm in Chicago and I'm doing this really artsy. I'm doing did a production of a Merchant of Venice in this church. And it was really cool because I was working with the guy that I graduated with, went to grad school with, and it was a part that I wanted. I lobbied for the part. It was Graziano, like the fun guy from Merchant of Venice. He has this really cool monologue. So I'm doing the show, and we're like backstage, and I was just talking to some guys backstage, and I was like, yeah, I just feel like we're really this kind of, and I was being douchey, but I wasn't. It was kind of, yeah, I just feel like we're just coming together as a cast and like we're really growing. And then so somebody comes into the backstage and just like, Chris, aren't you supposed to be out there? So, Chris, aren't you supposed to be out there? And I was like, oh, shit. And I was. And thankfully, it was just like a long ass scene where I was just supposed to be standing there in the background. But I fucking missed my cue and I didn't go on stage. And I felt like such a fucking asshole because I was just like not where I was supposed to be. But I was trying. I was having this like really heartfelt, artsy moment where I was just like, yeah, I think, you know, we're really coming together as a show and we're evolving as artists. You know, we're young and we're just doing our thing. Chris, you need to get your ass on stage. So that was funny. And that's kind of like how I felt when I, you know, I was like, yeah, I just feel like I'm, you know, I was texting one of my friends like, yeah, I just feel like comedy, just really, I'm just feeling really lucid and feel like things are coming together. And I just fucking bombed two nights in a row. But that Steph Curry thing, oh, my God, I was so fucking mad at that crowd. And I just didn't even want to talk to Steve after the set. And then after the first show, he's like, dude, I don't know what the fuck was going on with that crowd. That Curry bit was good, man. It's good, you know. Like he encouraged me. So that was nice. But even he had a bit of a time. But he's a fucking pro. He's been doing it for so long that he turned it around. And when I went back out there towards the end of his set, he was just like, "You motherfuckers were weird. Like this is just a weird ass show." And I really like. So look up Steve Trevino. His special is on Netflix. It's called Relatable. And he's just a dude that tells his story and he just tells these funny stories and he's just a really good fucking comic. And that's like, he's kind of like what I envision myself being when I'm at that range or age in my, as a comedian, to just keep like evolving and to be one of those guys is just a really just a really good fucking comic and a really good pro. Jesus Trejo also, man, just another dude, young dude, he's like 29, he just like talks about his life and is just super relatable, funny, just like, just funny motherfuckers, man. And it was just, it was just good. So that really, that made me feel good. So that weekend, it was just a fun weekend of doing comedy and just going to keep going. And I can give you, why don't I give you some dates while I'm talking about comedy? July 21st, I'm going to be at QED Astoria at 9 o'clock p.m. on the, I think it's called the Happy Place Comedy Show. I haven't been back to QED Astoria, so that'll be cool. July 27th, I'll be at the Creek in the Cave at 10 o'clock p.m. July 28th, I'm going to be at Old Man Hustle at 9 o'clock p.m. July 31st, The Knitting Factory, Brooklyn, New York at 9 o'clock p.m. August 3rd, and I'm going to be at Oliver's in Astoria. And also on August 3rd, I'll be at Pete's Candy Store at 10 o'clock p.m. August 6th, Cantina Royale in Brooklyn, New York. That's a fun-ass show. Good for you. I did that earlier in the year, so they're letting me come back. So that was fun. Really cool, trendy spot in Brooklyn. August 11th, I'll be in Arlington, Virginia, the Green Room at the Arlington Draft House, headlining that show, the Cool Cow Comedy Showcase, 8 o'clock p.m. on August 11th. August 12th, I'll be again back at the Green Room doing the final draft show, 10 o'clock p.m. And then I'll be at the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland. Big show, August 14th. I got these jokes, young. If you're in the Maryland, D.C. metropolitan area, if you're close by, I don't know. It's a Sunday night, so it's going to be fun. I don't know. It was pretty packed the last time I did it, and that was in the wintertime. That was in November, so hopefully people come out to that. It's going to be fun. So I'm excited to come back to nearish my college town. That's the city. You know, I went to school in Emmitsburg, Maryland, but that general area is my college area, so I'm excited to go back there. What other news do I have in my creative life? I got cast in a movie. I'm going to be in an independent movie. I had the call back on Wednesday that I was telling you about. It was fun. So I'm not going to say too much about it. It starts filming in August. That's all that I know. And I hope that that it goes well. So and it comes to, I don't know, streaming or a theater near you. It's an indie movie. So it's a good role for me. It's fun. I get to work, so I'm happy about that. So I will let you know about that when I find out, you know, when it's done, if they cut me out. so we'll see. The homie Gordon Baker Bone just posted the pictures of me bombing at at 10th Street Live. They're actually pretty good. It looks like I'm actually saying something. So. But I bombed. So that was really cool. So this, so I don't know how long this thing is going to be. This is going to be, you know, I'm just going to talk about a couple more things and I guess we'll get out of here. I've been talking for 28 minutes. So we had another, there's another shooting in Baton Rouge, like yesterday morning. Sunday morning. Another senseless shooting. This dude that, former Marine, reading about him, this guy, Gavin Long, it seems like he was one of these, he's just a misguided dude. And he just seemed like he was trying to find himself, and he just comes across as just an extremist hotep guy, you know, and he had all these videos and podcasts, and he's kind of doing some of the same shit he wasn't a comedian or anything, so he was just like it's really fucking sad. And this is a second military guy that that terrorized a town. It's not much more than, and then he did say in his videos, you know, he said, you know, he didn't want to be associated with any groups, and he didn't want to be he didn't want to be associated with ISIS or the Money Team. He was wearing a Money Team hat, and he had like a Money Team chair cushion or something on the back of his chair. It said Money Team. For somebody that didn't want to be affiliated with groups, he had, you know, seemed like he was affiliated with some. Then he was like in some kind of, what's the name of this group that they were like part of like some sovereign, shit. What the fuck is the name? The Ouachita Nation. They're kind of like, if you go back to the episode where I talked about Aloha last year, you'll find like, let me just look this shit up. Let me look it up again. So the Ouachita Nation is a group of Black Americans that claim to be a sovereign Native American nation within the boundaries of the United States. The name is taken from that of the Ouachita tribe, who are eponymous of the Ouachita River and Ouachita. The young group is part of the Sovereign Citizen Movement, a movement whose members generally believe that they are not subject to any statutes or proceedings at the federal, state, or municipal levels. And then they called one of the dudes, one of the people that ran it, and they said, he wasn't a part of us. So nobody's really claiming anything. And then now, right now on CNN, the breaking news, man with axe who attacked people on a train in Germany has been shot dead by a police official says. You know what it is? I mean, like, the world is violent. The country's super violent. We now, I think America kind of has to come to grips with the fact that we're just like some of these other countries that have violent attacks and terrorism. Like where it's just always it's always like some shit going down at like a mall, or, you know, I said this a couple years ago and I think I tweeted this, like when they start making Call of Duty like Ferguson, Missouri, or Call of Duty Baton Rouge, Call of Duty Dallas, it's gonna eventually get to that point, like that they're gonna start doing this, and it's just like all this, you know, like Call of Duty whatever Texas, where they had that fucking swimming pool party where the police officer like body flipped the little Black girl, the school where the Black girl got thrown to the ground, where she was being a shitty kid, but she didn't have to get fucking the shit beat out of her, that kid in that classroom. So we're becoming that, where it's like where you only hear like foreign reporters talk about it, like people with accents. Today in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you know, it's just like one of those, we're rapidly becoming just like the people we think we're better than, just like those countries that we think we're better than, we're becoming just like them, possibly worse. You know, some friends I've heard tell people on Facebook or just in conversation somewhere where I heard it, that, you know, people from Africa are asking their American friends if they're okay. Like, are you guys okay? You guys are fucking up, you know? So we just kind of have to come to grips with that. And this kid, he was not a kid. He's a man. He did all that shit on his birthday. He was 29, turned 29 yesterday. Just a misguided man who was off. You know, I don't know what the military does to some people, or it's obviously something that people aren't talking about and they're not getting treatment. And he just kind of has, you know, the guy was on the dean's list. He got his associate's degree, smart guy. He was married. He just seems like one of those dudes. You have that friend that kind of talks where it's like, we got to do this, this, and this, brother. And it's like, and then they go off, they're always doing these different business ventures, and it doesn't seem like it, and they want you to join, but you're like, no, and then they like kind of disconnect from you, and then they go to do their own thing, and it's just like, well, you just kind of wish them the best. That happened to me not too long ago. Or they're just you see these people on Facebook, like they talk about like they're making all this money, but you don't know what they do. Like they're like Tommy from Martin. And it's just fucking weird. Like you don't know what job they have. And it just seemed like he was one of those dudes with just even more fucked up. And there was he had a body camera or he was taping it with his phone. He was in some barbershop trying to talk. And he was like, the guys really didn't want to listen to him. This is like that annoying guy that's just like, all right, nigga, just calm down. Let's talk about LeBron. You know, let's talk about whatever else, but not what you're talking about. He's just a fucked up dude, man. And he's a terrorist, just like anybody, just like the other guy. And then they used another robot on him. They used the robots on the black dudes a lot. Well, this is the second time, but they've been using the robots on these dudes. And he had in his rental car. Shit, Wikipedia broke that shit down. Because I don't think it was a protest. It was just like some suspicious behavior going on. And then they said he was in Dallas, but they said he was on a book tour. So when they looked in his, police recovered from the crime scene an IWI Tavor SAR 5.56 caliber rifle and a Springfield XD 9mm pistol. A third weapon, a Stag Arms M4 variant 5.56 caliber semi-automatic rifle, was recovered from Long's rented Chevrolet Malibu. I don't even know what any of these guns are. Oh, shit. Holy shit. I'm looking at a picture of the IWI Tavor. This looks like... Wow. This looks like something that's on a video game. Like Call of Duty or fucking Metal Gear. This looks like some shit that Solid Snake would have. And then what is this? A Springfield XD... That looks like a standard issue pistol. I don't know shit about these things. Stag Arms. That's like a company. That's a firearms company. Stag Arms M4 variant. Wow. Holy shit. If you just look up these things, oh my God. That's insane. Why do regular motherfuckers walking around need that shit? We gotta have our fucking guns, man. What is it, the Second Amendment? I guess. Is the Second Amendment right to bear arms? Let me look that up. Second Amendment. Yeah, I was right. Okay. I'm smart. Yay, guys. No, I'm not. So wow, man. That like the guns that this dude had. So what did he have when he was shooting? He just had a He found Long clad in a black face mask, clad in black, wearing a face mask behind the hair crown beauty supply. They didn't say what gun he had. Did they say what gun he had with him? And then, you know, he killed three guys. Brad Garofalo. Matthew Gerald and Montrell Jackson. And one of the guys, I believe it was Jackson, just had a kid, and he had posted something on Facebook about, you know, the violence and what it was like to be a black cop. And it's just fucking sad, man. Injured a bunch of people. It's horrible. You know, that's we're rapidly becoming that country, and this is becoming commonplace. And it's definitely a reaction to a misguided reaction nonetheless, but a reaction to the police brutality, and it's a problem. And you have people, crazy people on Facebook posting stuff. And, you know, they just, one of the, another officer involved in the death of Freddie Gray got acquitted sometime this morning, or I think it was last, this morning, they got, whoever got acquitted. And, you know, it's just, it's really sad, you know. I mean, shit like this has been happening. We just have, we're just being made aware of it. And it fucking sucks. There's nothing more I can say about it. But, you know, it fucking sucks. What else do I want to talk about? So I talked about Selena. Selena Gomez is all right, man. Y'all leave her alone. Video games. So I beat that game Inside. I recommend you play that. If you're hardcore, you could, they claim that you could finish that game in 3 hours. I finished it in like 3 sittings. So if you've played that game, you know, let me know and let me know what you think about it on Xbox and PC, Xbox One and PC. I played NBA 2K for the first time since the Kevin Durant trade. I updated the rosters, and my God, that shit is fucking unfair. It's so unfair playing with Golden State and just with Kevin Durant. He's so tall. Like, there was a, I should have posted it on Instagram or something, where like it was like a switch off, and Russell Westbrook had the ball and he was trying to shoot it, and Kevin Durant just like didn't even jump. He just like knocked the ball out of his hand, out of Westbrook's hand. It was just like so fucking unfair. And I was talking about it on Twitter, how it's just like in that movie The Wizard that I went on a rant about last year. How people are trying to say it's not a good movie, but it really is. Anyway, it's like that kid, that douchey kid that had the power glove, and the kid was a fucking asshole, and he had all the, you know, he was a cool kid, and he had all the cool shit, and he was just better than everybody. And it's just kind of like, it's a little unfair, but I think just in the video game, I mean, in real life, those guys still have to play those games just like the Warriors had to do last year. They had to, you know, they beat Oklahoma City. They should have beat Oklahoma City. They should have beat Cleveland, to be quite honest. Everybody knows that. But you have to close. They didn't close it out. So they have to play those games in real life. But on the video game, man, that shit is it's kind of fun. But I don't know that I would do a season with them. I think, like I was saying, I think maybe I said it last week or whatever. I'm thinking about running with, I'll probably run with the Cavs again, but Cavs, I mean, they're a good team too. I'll probably run with the Timberwolves, because I like young teams. So that's that. There, Ghostbusters. I saw Ghostbusters yesterday, the much talked about and ballyhooed reboot. I thought it was all right. It was aight. And I know the big fuss, it just seems like people were, I never really had a problem with women being leads in movies. I get made fun of actually for liking movies with female leads. I mean, you know, I've gone on record and said, you know, Short Term 12 starring Brie Larson was one of my favorite movies within the last 5 years or so, 10 years even, and that's a female lead. Comedy wise, you know, Spy, you know, just even echoing what the homie J.L. Covanis said, you know, that was, God, that you shit. I don't know if we've, that's just a funny ass movie with the lead leading lady and Melissa McCarthy. Just a fantastic movie. It's one of the funniest movies I've seen in quite some time. Bridesmaids, I guess the success of Bridesmaids was what you know, kind of, I guess, was a tuning fork for feminism or a feminist in comedy. Ghostbusters, it was just okay. You know, I felt the same way about Ghostbusters, leaving Ghostbusters, when I left the Avengers Age of Ultron. I was entertained. I laughed a couple times, and I was just like, all right, okay, not bad. I just thought for the talent that they had with the four leads, that it could have been a better script around them. You know, I thought, like, the action scenes, I like, you know, Kate McKinnon had a really cool action sequence. She was funny. I just thought it was okay, you know? Like, there were moments that reminded me of Big Hero 6 and the first Avengers. I'm not, without giving anything away, but a couple of the climactic moments. And the climactic moments in Big Hero 6 and the first Avengers movie, it reminded me of that. I liked the chemistry that that the actors had with each other. I was entertained, like C plus, you know. And if you're gonna, I just don't know. Like, does this have to be the movie that people, you know, this is what I'll say. And I just said this a couple weeks ago about that movie Race, and movies like 42. It's definitely something good for young kids to see. So like for girls that are, you know, preteen, young girls, it's definitely a movie for them to see, so they can see these women in these big roles, busting ghosts, these empowered women and doing their thing. That's definitely a great fucking thing for little girls to see, but it's not, you know, it ain't all that. I don't want to be that guy, but you know, there's other movies that are good that can be championed. But I guess comedy is one of those hot button issues when it comes to women, and I can understand that. I just I'm not for, like, you know, shaming. I'm not for saying, like, oh, women can't do comedy, women can't go. I don't give a fuck about it. I enjoy women. I love women, much to my detriment. There's something that that I'm working on for the stage to talk about it. But solid movie. I saw it at the AMC in Garden State Plaza. They have the Dolby, what do you call it? Like their Dolby theater that they charge you extra for. And you kind of, your seat kind of rumbles a little bit and you can hear the sound around. It's all right. And I guess they're talking about doing a sequel. So maybe with this sequel, it'll be, maybe they'll come with it harder. And the Ghostbusters was playing in the green room while I was at Levity, I think, what, Friday night. I really don't remember Ghostbusters all that. You know, I remember Slimer. I remember Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. There's certain things that I remember, but I just mainly remember, you know, the toys and me and my cousins playing around. We had like the toy where you could, it was one where you had it was like a proton gun. And you flash the picture, like the picture of a ghost would come on the screen and you could, like, you know, pretend to shoot at it. And my cousins and I would, like, dress up, we would decorate the room, we'd turn the lights out, and we'd, you know, pretend like we were busting ghosts. So if anything, if that inspires girls to want to do that shit, then I'm all for it. But the movie itself, average. It's an average Hollywood blockbuster, and it's fine. It's fine. I'm more excited to see the Mike Birbiglia movie, Don't Think Twice, which is about an improv troupe that's been together for quite some time, and then one of them gets the opportunity to be on a Saturday Night Live-esque TV show, and then the aftermath of what it's like when the person actually gets it, and then, you know, the relationships are in that group and all that good stuff. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to see that this week, and I'll definitely talk about that. That's the kind of shit that I get excited about. That's really nerdy, indie off the beaten path. It's only playing in one theater. It's only playing at the Landmark in New York right now. So I mean, when it comes out like Thursday night, and so I'm super excited. You know, like that's, and JL, the homie JL Covan gets, you know, he makes fun of me for liking the indies, but that's kind of where I'm at with it, man. I'm sure I'll see this Star Trek movie eventually. And I told him, if you listen to that episode that he and I did on his show, Righteous Prick Podcast, that's pretty much, I'm not that excited about anything this year. I'd say this summer, the best thing, and then I'm sure the fall will bring more stuff that I'm excited about. You know, I'm sure that what's going to be the most attractive to me is the movies that come out this fall. And I just saw right before I started that the Fences film adaptation that Denzel Washington's directing and starring in is coming out around Christmas time. So that's something I'm going to be excited about. What's the Magnificent Seven that Denzel's in? Probably try to take my dad, maybe even drag my mom to the theater to see that. So it's stuff coming down the pike. I mean, like the best movie I've seen this year that I've enjoyed would be Green Room, which I bought on Blu-ray last night and yesterday and watched it. That was fucking good. And I tried, and it was directed by the same guy that did Blue Ruin. Thought I had the box. Sorry for the squeaking chair. Who's the director? Oh man, it doesn't have it on the fucking box. Are you kidding me? Jeremy Saulnier. Saulnier. Well, that guy. And then Blue Ruin. I was gonna watch it last night. It's not even playing on Netflix anymore, which is a disappointment. Yeah, man. So if you want to see Ghostbusters, go see it. Try not to pay a lot of money for it. If you can see it at, you can see a matinee, or you don't have to see it in Dolby or like Super IMAX. I think it's fine if you just saw it in 2D, the regular joint. But you know, I like all those actresses. I just wish that there was more for them to do, you know. And for the little kids, just to recap, for the little girls, I'm sure it'll inspire people to want to pretend to be Ghostbusters and let their imaginations flourish. So that's a good thing in and of itself. So I think it's going to do that job, and it's going to be efficient at that. So... And lastly, the Bleacher Report put out this Michael Vick documentary that was solid. It talked about how dope he was and as a kid in Newport News as a football player, and then just quickly went to his fucking demise. And it would have been nice to just have more of those college things, which was cool. It had Donovan McNabb was in it a lot. Aaron Brooks was his... I think second cousin, and he grew up in Newport News. I didn't realize that. And he was talking about his, you know, recruiting process and all that, and talked about him as 2004 Madden 04, how he was just like that. Michael Vick was just super amazing in that game, and they compared him to Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, and I tweeted that is Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl better than Michael Vick or vice versa, and a couple people responded, but I don't know, that's I think it would be Tecmo Bowl is better than 04 Mike Vick in Madden. I like that they put that in there. It's only 50 minutes. It's worth watching, but it just seems like these 30 for 30s to me are just about black people fucking up now. Like that's just kind of what, like the last couple, like OJ fucked up, obviously, the Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, just kind of just really depressing. not, you know, it's just kind of like, fuck, like, did somebody ever get right? You know, obviously this Bleacher Report thing wasn't a 30 for 30, but it just kind of seems like when there's a black athlete, it's just like, what happened to this guy? This guy fucked up, right, guys? Look how fucked up he is now. Huh? Do you see that? And it's kind of like a buzzkill. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know. The 30 for 30s can kind of get that way. I mean, I guess that's what it is, to show you the other side of life. But it just seems like sometimes they spend so much time on the shit where they fucked up. But I liked how I liked how OJ Made in America just gave you a grand scale to just say, this is what it was like when OJ was coming up. This is how he ascended. And it stayed on that ascent for quite some time. And then it went into that spiral, downward spiral. With like part five was just like, what the fuck? I didn't even know that happened. But for the most part, 30 for 30s are just kind of depressing. Believe Land was pretty good. That was good. You know, they showed them winning. All right. So that's the end of the show for the week. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, review it. If you like the show, you know, review the thing. Give me the 5 stars on Stitcher and iTunes. And, you know, I'll keep bringing this thing. I think I'm in the middle of a transitional point with the show. I feel like the show's getting good. I feel like this show is evolving and getting better. I feel like I'm having more fun doing this. So I appreciate if you listen, and we'll get some guests for you. Don't worry. But I hope that if you are still sticking with this, I hope that I'm getting you through something. I hope you get a couple laughs out of it. Maybe you're informed a little bit. Maybe you's like, nigga, I already knew that shit. But maybe it'll make you look up something. But I don't know. But I thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.